I just think that there are other countries long before Ireland that started to have difficulties with criminality associated with immigration, and we're not going to be any different. And pretending that that's not a reality and pretending that that's not something that needs to be addressed, and basically the kind of suicidal empathy that all of our political classes are infected with, means that you never see substantive conversations happening about the about this on the TV or on radio in any real way. And I think that I get increasingly annoyed that we seem to have a political class who are willing to martyr a certain amount of Irish women or children to this cause. And I think it's really disturbing that I saw politicians, and I'll get to it, Ivana Bacik talking about crimes against women, and, you know, on these kind of vague brushstrokes about setting up a fund for women who are victims to get money from, and just never, ever, ever really grappling with the real question here, which is when you have large amounts of men coming into Ireland from other countries, countries that have a vastly different culture when it comes to women, when you have that situation, is there any cause for having a conversation about how that might impact the safety of women in Ireland? We had in Ireland many conversations over the years about whether consent should be taught to Irish boys in college, in school, whether people should have the consent classes with their uncle, whether the Irish mammy is to blame for the student. And that was all okay. But by God, don't go near, don't touch the subject of men, of Muslim men or men from other countries where the culture is vastly different for women coming to Ireland and having a different approach, and what that impact of that might be on women. And it boils my blood to think of the level of safety that I enjoyed. And I'm not saying that there wasn't problems. Of course there is. But the level of safety I enjoyed as a 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old plus girl going out on nights out in Dublin in the early 2000s. And the level of safety that my now 4-year-old daughter will be enjoying 14 years from now. It really, really pisses me off that the likes of Ivana Bacik and the Sock Dems and all these people who enjoyed their suicidal empathy and their woke patting themselves on the back while this was happening will be long gone from political life. And my daughters and the daughters of people who listen to this podcast will be the ones living with the consequences. Say nothing for the women, by the way, who are suffering it today. But I only see this getting worse if we don't actually have the conversations, hard conversations about it. But we won't, because we don't, because that's our way.
I want to say something first, because I can see our friends on the left lining up in the comments to make this point. So, guys, I'll do you a favor and make it for you, which is the first thing that we need to say is that, of course, Irish men commit terrible crimes too.
But like,
I'm not, John.
I'm sick of that shite. We know Irish men commit crimes. We already know that. That's not the silver bullet argument that people think it is. Like, if I lock you into Dublin Zoo tomorrow night and say there's two lions at large, survive the night, and then you get €1 million at the end of it, does your chances of surviving the night change if I add 10 more lions in? Of course it does. Like, it's absurd. We know we have Irish men, Irish rapists, Irish murderers of women. We all know that. There's nothing we can do about that. What can we do about that? That's a part of the reality of life. Bad men sometimes exist and they do bad things. But you're pretending that there's not a cultural difference, and you're pretending that there's not an increased risk when you bring more and more and more men into the country. The Irish men shtick is just, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Yeah.
Again, the thing you have to understand is that they know exactly what they're doing. Like, you're just under attack. You're just under attack. Okay? That's all. Like her story about, you know, if there's two lions, isn't that less dangerous than 10 lions? It's like, yeah, and the question you should ask is, who let in the 8 lions? And what was the intention of that? Oh, is to kill you? Okay, so it's an attack. So you don't need to argue with them about whether or not the lions should be released. You need to kill them.
do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The Force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I think you could sum up a lot of what we're talking about here, as Orrin McIntyre did with this article, this headline. Conservatives are blowing the easiest political win in American history. Young men are abandoning the left in droves. The right could keep them if it stopped treating them like a problem to manage. After Donald Trump's stunning victory in the 2024 election, Democrats had to stop and ask what went wrong. One conclusion from the commentary class was that progressives had a serious man problem, and for once, they were right. Democrats had made contempt for men, especially young white men, central to their message, and that came with a cost. Any white man who remained on the left had to accept that he was either uniquely guilty or expected to participate in his own dispossession. The party even launched a $20 million effort to discover why men were abandoning it, only to arrive at the familiar conclusion that men were simply bad and deserved what they got. Young men who believe the system is organized against them and who have substantial evidence for that belief will organize to defend their interest. What should have created a golden opportunity for the GOP to destroy the to secure the loyalty of young men for a generation, instead, conservatives are setting that opportunity on fire. Men's natural role in society is to protect, provide, and lead. Even when women earn good incomes, the data consistently shows they still prefer men who are at least as successful as they are. Women generally do not form families with men who cannot find stable work, buy homes, or attain the status markers that signal competency and security. And it goes on, but again, the headline says it all. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that has been granted to the Republicans on a silver platter. Your enemies are weak and disorganized and appalling and just vicious little gremlins. And all you have to do is be better than them. All you have to do is just provide some basic common sense solutions to some very easily solved problems. They don't have to be dramatic. They don't have to be overwhelming, you know? I'll say it again. All the right needs is a right-wing Merrick Garland, a right-wing Alejandro Mayorkas. We don't need Jeanine Pirro screeching at the top of her lungs that everybody in the media is evil. We don't need, you know, Pete Hegseth doing pull-ups and showing everybody how cool he is. We need professionals who will just enforce the law, get it done, and then move on to the next thing. And let's give a press conference and just go, we're just following the law here and this is what the law says. That's what we're doing. So no more questions. And then just keep going. Just eliminate the H-1B program. Oh, this program's just an endless source of abuse. And even when it's being used correctly, it's still bad for America. Then we're going to get rid of that program. We're not doing H-1B visas anymore. That program's over. Problem solved. We're going to massively deport people. That's going to lower house prices and open up jobs for young men to get jobs and start building their families. Like, you could just solve these problems. Be good for America. It'd be good for the economy. It'd be good for you personally as a politician. You can run on these things. Any of this stuff is there. It's just gold lying in the gutter waiting for you to pick it up. What are you doing instead? You're telling Zoomers they're entitled and basically need to get over it. You're saying the economy is better than it's ever been before. Starting wars with Iran. I mean, you're just doing literally nothing to even pretend to be dealing with some of the problems that young men are facing. And then you're screeching and crying about communism because the DSA is growing. It's your fault. It's entirely your fault. And then this, just going back to what we were talking about with Charlie Kirk, it's another great example. And when you start seeing this, you start seeing it everywhere. This is just one example. I saw like three or four just over the weekend. But it's a post from, you know, some group called Starlight. And it says, you know, quote, the Odyssey will flop because it's woke. And basically they're here. Go to dot cam here because you need to see this meme, what they're saying. So, you know, and then it's a gif of, you know, a guy being shot in the head. And as Kangman Lee points out, we can't even disagree about movies without leftoids fantasizing about killing us. And like, yeah, whatever, it's just a meme. You know, I've sort of the same reaction where it's just like, oh, if I have to hear this one more time, I'm going to blow somebody's brains out. Like, okay, fine, it's overblown. But is it really all that overblown, or do they actually basically believe this? I mean, they believe Charlie Kirk deserved to be murdered. What did he ever say about anything? He was the most reasonable, centrist, right-wing dude you could ever imagine. He's like, I'm all for black pilots. I just want them hired on merit. And they're like, you should be shot in the neck in front of a crowd. That's actually who we're dealing with. This is actually the level of extremity that these people embody. They actually do think you deserve to die for literally pointing out reality or for not liking that they are deliberately dismantling your culture and heritage and mythology. You're supposed to accept that. And if you're like, nobody likes this, this isn't going to do well, you should probably be shot in the head. Like, I get it's just a meme. I get that. But you also get that there's a very large element of truth to that. That while we're sitting here going, look at the silly socialists thinking that they can manage a planned economy. They're so silly. Let's roll our eyes and say communism never worked anywhere. Next, you know, it's like, meanwhile, they're sitting there like, let's buy guns and train so we can kill the chuds. One side is taking this seriously. The other side is selling us down the river. We get that, right? We do get that. And things like this, too. Which, maybe this would be a good time to go to some other videos and stories and things that I have. We'll see if we can connect these two things, but I want to get to some other bigger stuff down the line. But this, I think, is another thing you should really like think about and ponder on and meditate on for a little while. Nick Shirley uncovers an adult daycare, there's that word, in Flushing, Queens, with 7,000 phantom members. They just claim they have, you know, 8,000 members when they really only have like 200. And Brian Beal, in response to this, says, the fact that this one dude by himself can walk into any state and find blatant fraud everywhere goes to prove two things. One, the fraud is rampant at an unprecedented scale. And two, the government agencies who are supposed to protect our tax dollars are either completely incompetent or complicit in the fraud. And it is not possible to be this incompetent. They are complicit in the fraud. They like it. They're in favor of it. Hey, that person checked the right boxes, then you give them the money and your job here is done. They love that. Then that some of that money goes back into their coffers, helps them get reelected so they can shut down the investigations into this stuff. Everywhere Nick Shirley goes, he finds thousands of examples without like expertise, like they're just sitting there. Meanwhile, Joe Biden hired 87,000 IRS agents. None of them picked up any of this. None of them happened to notice the billions and billions and billions of dollars. Why not? The answer on one hand is that they're complicit. On the other hand, it's that these systems are fraud. they are set up to be fraud. They are built in a way deliberately so that there is no way to confirm that the money is actually going where it's supposed to be going. Again, in the private world, this would never fly because people give you money. They expect something in return. And if you just take their money and disappear, they're going to be pissed. You can't do that. In the public world, they just have a blank checkbook. They don't give a damn. So when the IRS goes, huh, this person's got millions of dollars, how'd they get this? And they see, oh, they run a adult daycare and, you know, they get this money from the government. It actually all checks out. Legally, they haven't done anything wrong. You would only see they've done something wrong if you go and investigate, are there actually people in this hospital? The actual massive tens of billions of dollars of fraud is all perfectly valid according to the tax records. They receive the money appropriately. The money's coming from the right location. The only thing that's wrong is that they're not actually doing anything with the money that they're supposed to be doing. And maybe you could find that out by looking at their, you know, transactions and going, there's no way they're buying enough food to feed 8,000 people. Like, okay, maybe you could do that, but that's not really what the IRS does. They just want to make sure that you're paying the percentage that the man demands from your income. And I'm sure these people, you know, pay their income tax and they get away with it scot-free. But everything is like this. Everything is like this. The fraud is rampant absolutely everywhere because our systems are built in order to allow it. And nobody is actually policing it and stopping it from being taken advantage of. And so then you get to a conclusion kind of like this from Unjected on X. The reason why people cannot grasp the anti-vax paradigm is that in order for it to be true, the vax companies, government, media, and regulatory agencies would all have to be so incredibly evil and corrupt that it's beyond human comprehension. Their brains won't allow them to go there. Another way I'd heard this described is, imagine if someone told you that the weatherman on the local news was deliberately lying to you. Wouldn't that kind of sound absurd? It's like, okay, maybe he's wrong sometimes, but like, why would he lie to you? Like, doesn't that kind of say like, no, the weatherman's in on it. The weatherman's lying to you about whether there's going to be rain this afternoon. He knows better, but he's tricking you for his own ends. It's like, what? Why does the weatherman want me to not go to the park? Like, what are you talking about? Kind of sounds absurd. But how do we live in a country that can be grifted for tens of billions of dollars when you will be arrested if you don't, you know, file your W-10 on the $1,500 you made for, you know, grunt work? How is it that every single institution that we have, whose entire existence and purpose is to do one particular thing, why is it that they don't do that one thing? They cannot for the life of them do that one thing. How do you get a system where now, I mean, it's pretty much acknowledged Germany just came out and said, actually, nobody should be taking the vaccine, least of all pregnant women, because it has horrible side effects. It's just acknowledged in an open fact now that the virus came from the Wuhan lab and that it was a result of gain of function programming. So the one question is, why does nobody care about this? What the hell? Why does nobody care about this? But the really concerning thing is, how did it happen in the first place? How did we get to a situation where everybody in any position of power at every level all comports the lie when the truth is evident on the face of it? How did we get to this situation, and how do we get away from it? I just saw this video and I had never heard this before, and I was like actually kind of flabbergasted at this. Clip number 22, but I think this explains exactly how they get away with all this stuff. Clip number 22 is a doctor at the hospital where the first COVID patient was said to have been diagnosed in America. He says the man never existed. Let's watch.
First of all, everything in the news was wrong. It was all a lie. So our hospital had the first diagnosed COVID case in America. It was a guy who came back from China, allegedly. It was all a propaganda op.
Given that you think that was a propaganda op, what it makes me think of is the fact that University of Washington is right there. Bill Gates is a big funder of that school. He's a big funder of the Health Metrics and Evaluation Group that did all those COVID death predictions for the United States. I mean, do you think that that was all part of that propaganda scheme right there locally?
You know, I could theorize. I can speak to what I saw. The mood was so bad, but it was just ridiculous. So I don't want to hypothesize, you know, kind of off air, I might have my opinions, but what I can testify to was after the first diagnosed COVID case that made all the news, the chief medical officer of the medical group called me down and we were at odds. We were already at odds about corruption. So I'm in this like basically contentious relationship with this guy and he calls me down and says, hey, did you hear about this COVID guy? And I'm like, not really. Whatever, it's not my world. I'm a trauma surgeon. Like my thought of viruses and vaccines was like well under 1% of my brain space ever. You know, I knew enough to get A's on my medical school test, but like not something I was naturally interested in.
And by this COVID guy, he was referring to Fauci?
No, the patient who had the first diagnosed COVID.
The first diagnosed
who
COVID
came from
patient.
Wuhan, China, and showed up allegedly on our hospital doors. But here's the part that's weird. So the reason the hospital has such a cumbersome name of Providence Regional Medical Center Everett is because it's actually two campuses. And the second campus is just a birthing center and a rehab unit. So allegedly, they housed that guy there.
Wait. They housed the COVID guy who came from Wuhan in the birthing center?
Well, at least at that campus. Now, the CMO told me, oh, that's where we have our special negative pressure rooms, which was a bald-faced lie because every ICU room in our hospital, again, is a beautiful hospital. It's the most beautiful hospital I've seen in my life. It was like gorgeous. But every ICU bed was a negative pressure room. And so that's just silly. Additionally, as a trauma surgeon, because you deal with all the bad cases, particularly in the middle of the night, everyone tells you everything. I spoke to zero nurses, zero infectious disease doctors that ever took care of that patient. So maybe allegedly one of the infectious disease doctors who I never met or never talked to about it, kept his mouth shut, treated this guy, but I never heard about it. So none of the pulmonologists, you know, the lung specialists knew about him. No one talked. So the whole thing was silly, but why would you admit a guy to a hospital campus that has no ICU when you're worried about a deadly pandemic? Like, it's just illogical. So just from that, it was ridiculous. And then
this first COVID case and he's supposedly in a negative air pressure room, which is ridiculous because every ICU has negative air pressure. So it wasn't really a special place for this person who came from Wuhan. And so
with no pulmonologist talked about seeing him and I knew all the pulmonologists well.
Really? So they sent no pulmonologist to talk to a guy with COVID and probably had COVID pneumonia. And back then they were diagnosing it based on that chest x-ray that showed this quote unquote glass lung syndrome, right?
Right.
So it would have been a pulmonologist who would have gone there.
Yeah. And again, people talk. So I'll just absolutely hold out. There's a theoretical chance this actually happened. It just never happened with any other infectious disease. Like every tuberculosis patient came to the ICU because there were negative pressure rooms. Every other infectious disease we're worried about came to the ICU. So that it's just not logical. Hmm. And again, as a trauma surgeon, people tell you things.
Yeah.
They just do. And it just, you become a confessor to a lot of people and they tell you stuff.
Hold on. I've got a weird question. Do you think that patient actually existed or do they want everybody to think there was a COVID patient there from Wuhan?
Okay. You're asking me to conjecture about things that strain my credibility. I don't know. I just know I knew everybody and no one met the guy.
Yeah. So I think they're all in on it. Thing the guy probably didn't even exist in the first place. So yeah, this was a plan. This was an operation. Like, how do you get all these people to go along? Like, this wouldn't make any sense if it all unfolded like they say. You know, again, like people don't lie without a reason to lie. They wouldn't have a reason to go along with, you know, knowing that it came from a lab, but lying about it. Well, why did they lie about it? They must have known the actual truth. They must have been a part of the plan. Everything that happened during COVID was the fulfillment of an operation, was a plan being executed to perfection in many cases. So not only, I mean, just absolutely everything they told you about the virus was provably untrue, and we knew it before they even said it. If you'd been listening to us the whole time, you would have known. Then you've got this. Germany now drops all recommendations for COVID jabs for all healthy people under the age of 75, including pregnant women. Germany has just announced highly significant changes to their COVID vaccination recommendations. Pregnant women are no longer recommended to receive the COVID vax during pregnancy, even if fully unvaccinated. Not only pregnant women, anyone under the age of 75 who is healthy is no longer recommended to take a COVID injectable, even if they are fully unvaccinated. The reasons: greatly reduced severity of infection, widespread community immune resistance through previous infection and or injection. In New Zealand, pregnant women are strongly coerced into taking mRNA injectable during pregnancy. Germany just decided against this for all healthy pregnant women, even if they've previously had zero COVID shots. So, yes, they're now admitting that the danger is worse than, or the cure is more dangerous than the disease, essentially. And we've known about all of this the whole time, which was one of the primary reasons they wanted us off the air before they carried off the attack. Seth Dillon recently went after Alex Jones, saying the main reason Alex Jones was held liable was not that he questioned the official narrative. It was that he repeatedly and callously made false claims about specific people. So this is Seth Dillon failing the test, failing the litmus test, proving for everybody he believes lies. None of what he says here is true. He just wants to demonize Alex Jones because he's a bad person. But I'm not going to respond to this. I'm going to instead read from JD at Lost My Hats on X. Nailed this. He fact checks the Israeli first Seth Dillon scumbag. He says, fact check on the Israeli lobbyist. Alex Jones was not held liable for any of his claims. None, not one, because ultimately they couldn't. Not only was their case total bullcrap and unconstitutional, it was almost entirely lies. It was never intended to be successful. The process was intended to be the punishment, not the verdict. The billion-dollar verdicts came after default judgments. Court found Jones in default for discovery violations on BS technicalities, which meant the defamation liability was established by sanction, not by a jury weighing the truth or falsity of his claims. This let plaintiffs, basically the FBI in proxy, skip the actual malice standard established by New York Times versus Sullivan that is supposed to require. His case is nothing but feds versus free speech. We all knew that only 2 years ago it was designed for the chilling effect. Any legitimate constitutional scholar would call that case a miscarriage of justice in which there is no chance he would walk away with a shirt on his back, none. But again, conservatives all knew this in 2024, so what happened? Remember again in August 2018 when all the social media sites coordinated to ban Alex Jones at the same time. At the same time. And I said at the time, they will come for all of us. They did. Within 18 months, me and PNP had been banned from virtually everything, including MailChimp and other services you didn't think of as social media. Anything used to communicate, we were banned from. Why? Was it a necessary prerequisite to COVID? And we all endured the most invasive, draconian censorship regime in Western civilization, don't you remember? You couldn't sneeze politically incorrectly without being banned or put in timeout. Anything related to January 6th, banned. The 2020 election, banned. COVID, banned. Vaccines, banned. By 2021, almost 40% of Americans had been banned, shadow banned, or in some other way censored, including Babylon Bee. And Tucker stood up for Seth Dillon, the most prominent figure in the media, to do so. And not just in social media, it grew to real life. PTA meetings, school boards, town halls. Heck, I was even kicked off of a United flight by a gay flight attendant for a cap that read, Fauci lied. It was, quote unquote, health disinformation at 30,000 feet. All of that started when the feds used Alex Jones as a test case in censorship. I'll cover the rest on the other side, as well as the biggest danger we currently face in America, which is, of course, the takeover of our government by hostile foreigners in Israel. But tonight, folks, BOGO ends. BOGO Sups is coming to an end, folks. If you want to get buy one, get one free for methylene blue tincture capsule, or the ultra methylene blue capsules, rather, or buy one, get one free, as well as the creatine, go now, thealexjonesstore.com.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Who took the bomb? Welcome back, folks. Did we just nuke Iran? RT from RT.com, 3.6 magnitude earthquake strikes northeast Iran amid ongoing U.S. bombing across the country. And I scroll down and I see Syrian girl, 34 minutes ago, breaking, Trump said he used a nuke on Iran with B-2 bombers. Guys, can y'all grab this video? Did he say that? That's crazy. He may have said that while we were on the air, so I'd like to find out what he's saying here. Did we just nuke Iran? That would be really something to behold. I'd be shocked. So yeah, crew, if you can grab that video and let me know when you do, I want to go to that and see what it says. So again, great shout out to JD at Lost My Hats on X. defending Alex Jones with the truth, with what is just obvious and true to anybody actually paying attention, in defense against Seth Dillon, who, like so many other Israeli firsters, were completely against censorship until anti-Semitism became a thing. And now he's not so hardcore about that, actually. He wants to be able to say what he wants to say and believe, but, you know, people who are against him, they're bad. They need to be silenced. And he actually supports, supposedly, I guess, the persecution of Alex Jones. This is really just a, it's really just a condemnation of their own understanding. Like, this isn't a debate where it's like, well, some people think he got what he deserved and other people think it was too harsh. No, no. If you think Alex Jones got what he deserved, it's because you're a fool that believes lies. That's the only possible way you think that what happened to Alex Jones was legitimate. If you're a liar or you believe lies. So let me finish with this really great statement from JD, and then we'll listen to what Trump had to say. So he says, you know, it wasn't just social media that absorbed and started to carry out this censorship regime. It grew to real life, PTA meetings, school boards, town halls. Heck, I was even kicked off a United flight by a gay flight attendant for a cap that read Fauci lied. It was, quote, health disinformation at 30,000 feet. All of that started when the feds used Alex Jones as a test case in censorship. First, the FBI lawsuit by proxy with a corrupt legal process, top down, then social anathema. Then, after strangling him, they came for all of us. Only God and Elon Musk pulled us out of that. America barely survived the attack on our free speech. It was miraculous we came through. Seth Dillon has apparently forgotten what life was like 2018 to 2022 for people who had unapproved opinion. Have you forgotten? I won't, not ever. And this is why we cannot let the Israel lobby build back the censorship culture they desperately need to stop the slide of public opinion in the U.S. It's apparently easier for them to re-implement the fascist thought control regime pre-Elon than to just stop murdering babies in Gaza. Yeah, I'm going to read that line again. I think it's worth it. It's apparently easier for Israel to re-implement the fascist thought control regime that existed in America pre-Elon than it is to just stop murdering babies in Gaza. This is why we cannot. This is why, no matter who it is, who they paint as evil, in need of being silenced this week, we have to oppose it. Newsflash, whoever is suggesting free speech lawsuits, formal or informal censorship, or social ostracization for opinions, they're the bad guy. Whether it's reimagining Alex Jones as the devil again, to demanding Megyn Kelly be taken off air for not criticizing Candace soon enough, or going after Sean Ryan's advertisers for interviewing her, trying to get Tucker charged with sedition for criticizing Mike Huckabee, like Rod Martin today, or investigated for the imaginary crime of interviewing Putin, like all journalists used to do at the height of the Cold War, because that's normal. The nonstop attempts to bring back the 2018 to 2022 speech gulag must be resisted at all cost. There is an enemy on the left, but the Israeli lobby is the enemy of the right. They only win if they stop speech, and mark my words, they will die trying. So I think that's very well put. Of course, that is obviously where the number one threat to public opinion, the First Amendment, is coming from right now. And I would once again implore, encourage, beg, in fact, the left wing, who suddenly sees themselves on the receiving end of censorship. Can we understand that the right wing, us here, us at InfoWars, us, the Alex Jones type people in the world, we were right the entire time. And that the censorship that you clamored for and cheered for was always wrong. It was always bad. Just because it got turned towards you doesn't mean it suddenly was a good thing that's become a bad thing. It was always a bad thing. You were just happy to see that bad thing applied to people you don't like. And that's a moral failing on your part. And that you need to understand and embrace the principles, the underlying foundational philosophies that bring about things like free speech. And also to celebrate and love the people that created it in the first place. That actually the solution to all of these problems is Americana, the First Amendment, the Founding Fathers, the Bill of Rights. We need it expanded. We need it actually enforced. You know, I said this about the flock cameras, and I heard Nick Fuentes sort of say something similar to me later. And it was basically, when you see the map of flock cameras going up, the understanding that this is not something you can spot treat. This is not something you can deal with on an independent or individual basis, because they're putting up flock cameras faster than you could ever take them down. Now, does that mean you shouldn't try to take them down? Absolutely not. But what it means is that you're fighting an inevitably losing battle. You'll never actually be able to take down all of the cameras, and every time they put one up, you take it down immediately. That's not how this works. You need a government program to make it illegal. We need a one-size-fits-all, you know, slicing the sword through the Gordian knot kind of solution to all of this. Not, okay, it's up to you. You got to go risk a felony charge and 10 years in prison to tear down a single camera. Meanwhile, there's 10 more that got put up by a contractor earlier today. Like, that's not how we do this. We do this by taking over the institutions and writing laws that say you're not allowed to spy on people persistently. And guess what? Here's the great news. Here's the really good news about all of this. My classic saying is perfectly in effect. All America needs to do to succeed, all we need to do to save ourselves from the brink of destruction, is ruthless enforcement of already existing laws. Lucky for us, we don't need new laws to make flock cameras illegal. We've got the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Sixth Amendment, all of which are violated by the existence of flock cameras. So if we just had a government that actually adhered to the principles they're founded on, nothing else would have to happen. The flock cameras would just be deemed unconstitutional and illegal, and they would no longer be allowed to operate. That's how you solve this problem. Even just going, you know, municipality to municipality, it's a losing battle and it's a persistent fight that you do not have the resources or time to beat the corporations that are against you. What you can do is get the position in government and just say no. That's all we need to do. We need the government to make this stuff illegal, and every American should be on board with this, left, right, and center. Left-wingers, you don't want these things used to go after anti-Semites, but that's exactly how they're going to be used. So oppose this now, or don't, and suffer the consequences. And people on the right that think, oh, this is a lefty thing, we need these to fight crime. El Salvador didn't need these to fight crime. We didn't have these before the crime wave started. These places where they exist, crime has not gone down by a sizable amount or even a noticeable one. So these excuses don't make sense. You're just in support of a massive surveillance network, and it's pathetic. All right, let's go to this clip from Donald Trump here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Flock. But yeah, this was posted by Syrian Girl about 30 minutes ago, where apparently Trump said we used a nuke on Iran. Let's find out.
He's done a good job. If I wasn't around, or if Bibi wasn't around, especially the combination, Israel would not exist today. We wouldn't have hit him with the B-2 bombers. You know, they were going to have a nuclear weapon within 2 weeks. Had I not hit him with a nuclear, within 2 to 4 weeks, they would have had a nuclear weapon. And once they had a nuclear weapon, they would have used it. And you wouldn't even have Israel around. No, Bibi's good.
Is there anyone in Israel better than him to do the job? Is there anyone better than Bibi?
Well, I don't know most of them. I know some of them, obviously, but I don't know most of them.
Yeah, so that sounded like a misspeak. It didn't sound like he said he dropped a nuke. But I mean, he did say that, but I think he just meant we hit their nuclear. So I don't think that was an exactly honest portrayal of what he said. However, I am concerned about this supposed earthquake that occurred. That's kind of weird. But, you know, on that note, you know, they're talking about Bibi Netanyahu, and basically Trump is defending Bibi, and the other guy's like, well, is there anybody in Israel that's better? Earlier, I saw another interview from Gavin Newsom. He was asked about Israel being an apartheid state. He also said, well, I mean, Bibi Netanyahu, he's the bad guy here. This is a very obvious trait. Bibi Netanyahu is, at this moment, he's being built up as the sacrificial ram, right? He's being, all of the sins of the state of Israel and the Jewish diaspora are being piled on Bibi. They'll execute him and all their sins will be forgiven. That's what they expect. I hope we're not falling for this. I hope we recognize that Bibi Netanyahu is in fact a moderate when compared to some of his other party members in the Likud party. Let's go to clip number 18 here. This is Glenn Greenwald talking about what's actually going on here with the attempt to blame everything that Israel's done over the last 3 years on Bibi Netanyahu. Let's watch.
This discussion, to illustrate the point I'm making, the very first time I ever heard of WikiLeaks, No, actually, that's not true. But one of the very first stories I ever wrote about and reported on with WikiLeaks, one of the first times I talked to Julian Assange, was when they published what was called a Red Cell paper from the CIA in 2008. And a Red Cell paper is kind of like the way the CIA internally bats around theories and ideas. And they're classified. And it got leaked to Julian Assange. And the topic of this Red Cell paper was, increasingly in Europe, there was increasing opposition to involvement in the war in Afghanistan. It'd gone on for 7 years. European countries in NATO, they had invoked Article 5, so they went to Afghanistan to fight with the United States, and they were tired of it. They were losing soldiers, they were spending huge amounts of money, and it was obvious there was no progress being made. The United States had basically abandoned Afghanistan to go fight a war in Iraq, which many Europeans opposed. And in 2008, two different governments, I think one in Holland, don't recall the other, their governments were voted out of office in large part because of their support for involving that country and their military in the war in Afghanistan. And the CIA was really petrified that this anti-war sentiment in Western Europe in particular was going to grow, and it was going to be untenable for governments to continue to send their troops and their resources to the war in Afghanistan, and the United States are going to be left alone. The best hope for avoiding that, said this memo from the CIA that was classified but leaked to WikiLeaks, was to ensure that Barack Obama wins the 2008 election. Because by doing that, they were going to put, you know, Obama was going to obviously now be the commander in chief of the war in Afghanistan, wouldn't pull out. They knew he wouldn't pull out. He would have to keep fighting it. And they said by swapping the face of the war from this like Texan swaggering evangelical on George W. Bush, whom Europeans hated, felt very kind of alienated from culturally and comportmentally, by swapping him out and putting in Barack Obama, this like erudite, you know, East Coast, sleek, black lawyer, liberal, much more aligned with the sensibilities of Europeans, by making Obama now the face of the Afghanistan war instead of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, it would revitalize support among Europeans for the war in Afghanistan. They wouldn't feel like it was this evil right-wing imperialist project, but instead this kind of humanitarian project, because now Barack Obama, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, let's recall, in his first year in the presidency, that's how much Europe loved him. He gave him the Nobel Peace Prize for nothing. Basically, shortly after he announced an escalation in Afghanistan, they gave him the Peace Prize. In any event, they knew, the CIA did, that would fortify and rejuvenate support for the war in Afghanistan among Europeans, and exactly what happened. You just switch the branding, the face. Sometimes people will be like, hey, it looks different, it looks better. That's what they're hoping for with Netanyahu. That's why Rahm Emanuel is over there, pretending to declare war on Netanyahu, blame everything on Netanyahu. Because they're trying to lay the propagandistic foundation that if you feel hostility toward Israel, it's only because they have a bad leader. And once that bad leader is gone, Israel will transform into something you like again. It's an obvious fraud. But that's the game that's being played. All right.
All right. So I think that was an absolutely brilliant revelation of the fact that not only is this an obvious strategy that one can, you know, speculate about, but this was actually talked about in the CIA as something that they would want to do. So in order to continue the war, the best way to actually keep the war going is to put somebody in office who acts like they're against the war. You can extrapolate this out to all sorts of topics, but I think it's a very pertinent one, especially when it comes to Bibi Netanyahu and the way that he is now being set up to be the fall guy for everything that Israel has done. But remember, what this represents to the world elite and the powers actually beyond and above Benjamin Netanyahu is that he's a horse to be ridden as long as he can, and then you switch horses and you keep going. But, you know, as long as you can do it in a way that doesn't undo the progress you've already made. So they'll use Bibi Netanyahu. They'll use his, you know, position as, you know, king of the Jews, and especially to the American Jews, he's extremely popular, extremely right wing. So they'll use that to sort of progress the takeover of the Republican Party, use the Republicans to pass anti-Semitism laws. They'll get all of that done. They'll check all those boxes. They'll crank the ratchet that far, but it'll never go back the other way. So they'll get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu once he's served his purpose and ended his usefulness, but they won't undo all of the stuff that he did. They won't say, well, he was bad and all this stuff happened under him, so actually now we're releasing the Palestinians and we're giving back the land that we took over and we're removing the settlements from the West Bank and we're taking away the anti-Semitism czars that we put in your... No, 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 that never happens. So they'll use Bibi Netanyahu to get to a certain... as far as they possibly can. And once it turns out he's not the right horse to ride, they hop off to the next horse and keep going. But all the stuff they've done in the meantime with Benjamin Netanyahu has all been established and solidified and, you know, made permanent. And so you have stuff like this. New bipartisan bill seeks to outlaw criticism of Israel and Jewish power. It's by Eric Stryker on UNS.com. Last year's defeat of the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act by a coalition of progressive Democrats and patriotic Republicans caught the Jewish community off guard. According to a report by Jewish Insider, Chuck Schumer and his Republican collaborators' attempt to sneak the AAA into the 2025 NDAA was thwarted when a coalition of nationalist podcasters such as Tucker Carlson and various Palestinian sympathetic left-wing groups called attention to its draconian provisions and drew backlash to the bill. Rather than give up, Jewish groups reeling from the defeat have decided to launch a renewed offensive, this time attacking opposition to their Zionist agenda at its root, freedom of speech, especially on social media. In May and June, a bipartisan coalition of 15 House Democrats and House Republicans and 14 Democrats formally sponsored the Jewish American Security Act, a piece of legislation that, if passed, would constitute one of the most sweeping attacks on the First Amendment in American history. The bill enjoys practically universal backing from Jewish nonprofits and Zionist activist groups. The new law presents four major demands: the appointment of a specialized anti-Semitism commissar, as well as several others. But again, you know, it's another advancement in, you know, what we've been pointing out. And this is what they get to do, right? First, they'll do the AAA and they'll try to outlaw anti-Semitism that way. And if that doesn't work, then they just reformulate it and try again and they'll try again and they'll try again until they get what they want. This is a problem with the democratic system that we have here. We have to constantly fight back against these attempts to subvert or destroy us rather than have some sort of, I swear, this, it's so necessary, because what do you do? What do you do? They're going to try to pass the AAA, try to get it under the wire, like, oh, let's just put it in the NDA. Hopefully nobody notices. Oh, shoot, they noticed. Okay, take it out. Okay, reformat it. Now it's the Jewish Security Act. Now you're an anti-Semite if you don't support it. And let's see if we can't put this in another big bill. And it's just like endless. You have to constantly defend, constantly defend, constantly defend. And at a certain point, it's like you have to punish these people. It has to cost something to try to do something like this. You can put this bill forward, but if it doesn't pass, you have to go to jail now. I don't know what we do exactly, but they have it rigged. It's set up. There is no countervailing force. There is no organization, network of organizations to compete with the Zionist one to say, we're going to stand up. What that was supposed to be was called the United States government. That was supposed to be the collective will of the American people to oppose the collective will of foreign peoples. Now, our government has been taken over by them, and they have, you know, all of their non-governmental organizations helping to quarterback and, you know, manipulate all of it. But that's the biggest threat to our free speech, obviously. Then you've got, over this weekend, Netanyahu confirming plan to merge U.S. and Israeli militaries. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu on Sunday confirmed his plan to merge the U.S. and Israeli militaries through an opaque Pentagon contracts immune to political shifts. After claiming he wants U.S. aid to Israel to come to an end over the next 10 years, Fox News' Rachel Campos Duffy surprisingly asked him about the ploy, which I and others have been covering for months now. Will that drawing down of foreign aid over the next 10 years be compensated by the proposal to have merging some sort between our Pentagon and your military? Campos Duffy asked. Netanyahu responded. I'm calling it from aid to partnership. So it's just absurd. He's like, we don't want your money anymore. And they're like, well, but aren't you like actually going to have direct access to our bank account? And he's like, well, yeah. Okay, so, all right, so we shouldn't do this. So obviously that shouldn't happen, but it is. Joe Kent says this week the Senate will vote to merge our military's most sensitive and secret capabilities with Israel. This merger is buried within the massive NDAA, and they're hoping you won't notice. Merging our military with a foreign country is a treasonous betrayal of our sovereignty. Call your senators and tell them to vote no on the NDAA until the merger with Israel is taken out. Tell them we want to never support merging our military with a foreign nation, Section 219. The Rules Committee meets Monday night and will decide if our amendment to strip Section 219, merging the U.S. military tech and supply chains with Israel's, from the NDAA to get a vote. If they don't let our amendment get a vote, I will vote against their rule. So again, we'll find out later today if Thomas Massie is actually able to defeat the NDAA. Which again, I'll say it, Thomas Massie's actions as congressman has really proven that our system is capable of correction. That even if the executive and the corrupt powers that be, like, nobody wanted the Epstein files to come out, but Thomas Massie forced it. Now, since then, they have once again disobeyed the law, broken the law, not releasing the full Epstein files. So we have to continue that fight. But we actually need our representatives to actually represent us, to actually fight back against this foreign power takeover, especially when you have the flock cameras going in and the anti-Semitism laws being snuck through. We are being set up for a full-fledged prison planet predicated on and justified entirely by so-called quote-unquote anti-Semitism, which is in fact a reasonable and even merciful reaction to the inordinate crimes against humanity ever spilling forth out of Israel, courtesy of American money. So enough is enough. We'll continue that coverage tomorrow, because there's still a lot more to say in that regard. And a lot of people finally speaking up about this. I just hope it's not too little too late. But when you take all these seemingly disparate pieces and it's like, oh, they're merging our militaries and they're passing anti-Semitism laws with anti-Semitism envoys that will be in charge of the entire federal government. And they're building a flock network that the federal government is having access to. And they're training ICE with IDF, and they're training, you know, local police with the IDF, and they're planting these quick reaction forces around the country to deal with the, you know, specter of violence in the future. I think all of these things are all part and parcel of exactly the same program to build up a technological panopticon control grid to enslave the world for the benefit of Israel. So we should stop them from doing that, and at the very least not be party to it and paying for it and sitting back and allowing them to do it without fighting. I hope you can help us do this. The best way to support us is, of course, go to thealexjonesstore.com. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you right now. Buy one, get one ends in just a few hours. But for the next few hours, you can get ultramethylene blue capsules absolutely free with your purchase of one bottle. You get another absolutely free with ultimate creatine powder. I may have misinformed you earlier. It's buy one, get one 50% off, so still absolutely massive discount. And I know creatine is one of those things that people stock up on, so now's the time. Stock up on your supplements. Get your incredible shower head filter so you're not bathing in atrazine and all the other poisons that they put into our drinking water. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Keep us on the air and in the fight, and still, to this day, dictating, altering, and shaping the paradigm through which Americans understand the world. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Example on InfoWars, one of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and it'll turn you gay too. First off, gay people are awesome. I don't think that's a problem at all. And secondly, if you notice at the end of that video, he advertises water filters.
Now, you remember for decades I exposed how bad the water supply was, and they'd have David Hogg make fun of me and say it was a scam, and so what if the frogs are gay from the chemicals or trans or become hermaphroditic? Well, that's because their populations collapse and they go extinct, dummy.
He advertises water filters. Interesting.
It's the same thing with humans. Our fertility is being crushed. Our cancer rates are off the charts, and it's because of all the garbage in the food, all the garbage in the water, everything that's happening in our environment. And water is what 70% or more of our bodies are made of. It is so important to do this. It is a no-brainer. Go look at our third-party studies. Go look at our third-party testing. And then go out and try to find a comparable system for less money. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139. But for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So take your destiny in your hands. Don't let the globalists bomb you with these hundreds and hundreds, in some areas, thousands of chemicals. Don't let them bomb your children with it. Take action. Fund our information warfare operation against the globalists. Get healthier. Win-win. That is what it's all about. But you've got to take action. You've got to take control of your life. I am so proud of this bad boy. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead System. That's the housing. Just screws on in seconds. No plumbers. Beautiful box. Absolute high quality and a happy little straight frog that you look up at every morning, reminding you that you're not poisoning yourself, your wife, your husband, your children. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexshowstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.